It's cracking, motherfuckers. Can you hear me? I hope you can hear me. Man, this fucking camera makes my beard look weird. What the fuck, bro? Apple be doing this like weird shit with the front-facing camera algorithm and shit and making my fucking... God damn, bro. My beard don't look like this in real life. Anyways, in the spirit of technical difficulties, I bring you the podcast, Driving with Eshak. It's raining in LA right now. And if you don't know, people in LA are not used to the rain. So there's a high chance that I might die in a fucking car accident. Jason Bacon says, looks like a proper Dearborn car. You're right, bro. You can take the Rab out of Dearborn, but you can't take the Dearborn out of the Rab. A Rab, that is. I'm being extremely racist right now. I'm really mad at how my beard looks in this goddamn camera, bro. Anyways. Well, I lost my laptop at the TSA. And it was interesting. It was very fucking interesting. I'm not gonna lie, guys. I'm like dropping the ball on a lot of things, man. I'm pretty sure you guys heard this before. Part of me is like, is it COVID? Like, I've heard like people got COVID, then they started having long COVID symptoms, you know, like being discombobulated or a whole bunch of other weird symptoms and shit. It was pretty fascinating because I saw one of my old friends that I haven't seen in a long time, Lauren Bickers. If you guys are a fan of the Ed and Mo show, she plays Ed's drunk sister, the really racist drunk sister. And I haven't seen her in a really long time. And we got to sit down and talking and I don't know, man. She says that ever since the pandemic happened, something happened with time, the way we interface with time. Like, time seems to be going way faster than it normally does. And I kind of agree with her, you know? It's like, so that's weird, man. Like, for the fact that I left my laptop at the airport, man. Listen, I got to the airport and they gave me the pat down of my entire fucking life, man. And rightfully so, because they found a straight razor in my bag. And I normally know to take the straight razor out. And I remember when I got to the airport, I was like, oh, fuck. Right before I went through, I was like, man, I got to find the straight razor because I know I got to pack with me. Normally what I got to do is I got to take the razor blade out of the actual straight razor. And then if I show it to the TSA agent, you know, they'll be like, oh, okay, yeah, sure. There's no blade in there. You can take it in. So, didn't do it this time. And I guess the system picked it up, man. And that guy went through my bags for so fucking long, man. They strip searched me like that time I went to Israel. You know? And they saw his face and they were like, every alarm in the fucking building in the whole fucking country went off. And they held me there for 5 hours. This takes second place, man. The motherfucker went through everything. They even found my straight razor, finally. And the thing is, I tried looking for it before I went in, and I couldn't find it. And then what ended up happening was I ended up leaving my laptop in one of the bins. Because, you know, when that bozo says he's going through my shit, I gotta take my bins with me, right? So I had three bins, so I stacked them on top of each other. And then when I went home, like the next day, I went to go look for my laptop and it wasn't in there. And I was like, what the fuck? So I emailed the TSA, lost and found. They found it. It's on its way here, which is great. But lo and behold, here I am doing a podcast from my phone and I'm driving. And I've never done this before. And I'm like, you know what? let me give it a shot. Let me give it a shot to do a podcast while I'm fucking driving. Hope you guys had a good Christmas. Did you guys spend time with your families? Did you get drunk? Did you fight? Did you fight each other over COVID? Masks, no masks. Vaccine, no vaccine. I'm blown away how many people literally have been torn apart, man, with politics over the last... I mean, ever since Trump became president, man, it was just... You know, I remember one time I met this old lady and she was like, her kids don't talk to her no more. They used to live in the same area. I was like using her Airbnb. Then afterwards she told me, she goes, her kids used to live around the block. And then because she voted for Trump, they so much that they moved. They moved out of the fucking neighborhood and left this old lady, probably racist. She was pretty racist. I mean, she was pretty racist, but she old. You know? What do you expect? I think it's crazy, man. The good thing about Christmas right now for me is good, Bolty. I'm glad it was good for you, man. That's great. For me, it was good because my sister smokes weed now. I'm like, what? Everyone's starting to smoke weed now. And everyone who's smoking weed now is like, coming up to me going like, wow, why haven't I done this sooner? I guess that's what like drives me insane is how easy it is for us to be manipulated into just doing what people want us to do. Like before it was, no, don't smoke weed. Then we're like, okay, I guess weed is terrible. And now some corporation has a public company that makes weed. And now everything's fucking fine. I don't know. But I'm glad. I'm glad more people are getting high, man. You know? Especially people who do it like later in life. I think people who do it later in life, they see the biggest benefit, to be honest, you know, because they go through like their entire 20s and almost part of their 30s, like my sister. You know, I think my sister might have gotten high one time and or a couple times in college, and then she just, it just wasn't for her. Now, man, Christmas is badass, bro. Me and her were just smoking. Let's see what this strain does. Let's see what that strain does. Bolty says, I just paid a buddy's wife to get her medical card last week. What's 25 bucks, right? Right. Exactly. I guess you guys still have to get like a medical card where you guys are at. But, you know, it's now it's recreational in California and in Michigan, which is great, man, because like now I can just fly with weed. It's so fucking weird, man. It really is weird how easy it is for this fucking app to make my beard look like shit, dude. I can't look at my face while I'm driving. I'm gonna get into an accident. Cause I'm like, why is it making my beard look so light? Like fucking, yeah. Well, Missouri's a medical state, says Bolty. Yeah, I get it. To be honest, you know, it's gonna be on its way to recreational, you know? NFTs are good to invest in. I think weed is good to invest in. I really want to invest in marijuana some way. But how the fuck am I going to take on another business or idea where my fucking dumbass be leaving laptops at the airport? That's never fucking happened, bro. Like, it is insane. Let me ask you guys, like Bolty, Jason, whoever's listening. Do you guys have a lot going on in your life? And do you have systems? Do you guys follow a strict routine? Because I've always been a strictly routined type of guy. I was always the type of guy that would, I'd have my to-do lists in order. I'd have my routines, you know, wake up in the morning. I know what I'm doing from this time to that time and that time to this time. And then I started working for myself and I had to relearn how to restructure my time. And then after that, the pandemic hit. And something about slowing down during the pandemic, man, holy fucking shit. I just feel like, so like this week I've been like sitting down, meditating on, you know, how to better utilize my time, trying to restructure my time management system. It's really interesting because like never in my life have I had so many important projects to juggle at the same time, and I'm blown away by how important it is to literally have a proper system in place to follow, to execute these things in a timely manner, and prioritized properly, man. Because I'd be like doing some type of work and then all of a sudden out of nowhere, you know, I'd be like, oh shit, I haven't paid this bill in 3 months. Now the IRS is going to show up with tanks and rifles and be like, where's our $2 you owe us that is now $2 million because of the interest. So that's where I'm at, you know. To me, it's just like, it's crazy. But aside from all that, it was great during Christmas to be high and drunk next to my Muslim mom. And she, I don't think she had any idea, you know. My mom is fun, man. She's cool. Really funny. And it was just interesting to see that, like, you know, for the first time back for Christmas, I was showing my sister things. My sister's been like a pretty good cook, man. When we were kids, man, I could have swore. I thought, I was like, man, my sister is going to be a useless waste of space, you know? Like, when I grew up, I hated my sister, man. I want nothing more than to see her die in a ball of fucking fire slowly, you know? We were 6 years apart, so, like, I just could not vibe with her, man. You know, and she was a little fucking troublemaker too. She'd always get me in trouble and shit. Like my dad, you know, like any fucking dad has, you know, you don't hit women. That's the thing. You don't hit women. One time, like, you know, when we were really young, I like smacked my sister, and then my dad had to like lay it down and be like, look, you don't hit women. We hit men. He beat the fuck out of me all the time. But, you know, when I did the same thing to my sister, I'm like, what's the difference, bro? If anything, the ratio in size between me and my dad when I was like 10 and he was fucking whatever, 40 fucking something. And, you know, my sister being 6 years apart from me, it's pretty much the same thing. My dad is decking me. And then I'm like, you know, I'm just, hey. Just mimicking what I see. But yeah, I know I grew up hating my sister, man. No, we grew up, man. Of course, those things change. And I, you know, she wasn't somebody who cooked, man. I remember like after college, man, she didn't even know how to make eggs. I was like, yo, this, it's sad, bro. But now my sister, man, over the last few years, she's been like cooking up a storm. I look forward to go home during Christmas and shit because, man, she be making, everything she makes is great. But it was interesting this year, you know, I was marveling at her cooking and she's marveling at my knowledge of weed. It's fucking great, man. Can't believe I'm getting stoned with my sister and my mom is like at earshot, but she can't hear us because, you know, she doesn't wear her hearing aid that often. It's always like, what do you say, huh? My mom calls the glove compartment the glove department. But yeah, man, it's great to get high with my sister during the holidays. I used to get high with my mom. Back in the day, man, my mom was like struggling with sleeping and like taking like Ambien and sleeping pills, and like no joke, she would end up in the hospital because she was overdosing on the Ambien. So she would like take it to sleep and then it wouldn't work. So then she would take double the pills and then it would really work. And then she would end up sleepwalking. And then she would sleepwalk around the house. And while she's sleepwalking, I had to catch her doing this, she would take more Ambien pills. That's how she would overdose. So she wouldn't even know she's doing it. And Ambien shit is fucking dangerous. And I remember I had to try to get my mom to realize that, hey, man, weed is a good thing. But weed has been vilified. It's been vilified for a very, very long time. You know, many, many rich, influential people back in the early 1900s made sure that cannabis was vilified in the public's eye so that they could make money selling the products that they were selling that hemp and marijuana would ruin. You know, they really had a problem with hemp more than anything, because hemp was is one of those materials that, you know, could revolutionize the world. It would remove our need of paper. And, you know, one of the biggest billionaires of the early 1900s, you know, was a big paper industrialist. And he made sure, in, you know, in collaborating with the government, that we would vilify cannabis. And then they end up calling it marijuana, which is actually a Mexican word for some type of wild tobacco that they smoked down there. And I guess I'm only going to imagine that back in the day, during that time, the Mexican words or Mexican terms or Spanish words were used in a way to vilify people, kind of like after 9/11, how, you know, being an Arab or having a name like Mohammed was you know, vilified, right? Guys who looked like me were vilified. So they did the same thing with I'm still calling it marijuana, with weed. The real word for it is cannabis. And, you know, they demonized it by calling it marijuana. So I had to convince my mom that, and it was really hard to convince her to smoke weed, man. It was hard. It was years ago. She just had this brainwashing. It's just like, oh, I can't be walking around smelling like weed. I can't let people know that I'm smoking weed. And my mom is one of those ladies. I don't know if you ever watched the movie. It's a good movie. It's called Requiem for a Dream. It's it follows like four or five characters that each deal with some form of addiction. It is a really, 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 really good movie. One of the characters in there is a helpless woman who sits around and just watches TV, and she lets TV influence her. And, you know, my mom is kind of like that person. My mom is that person who watches the TV and then lets it sort of like dictate what the world is, you know? Like, I remember one time, a very big, large black dude held the door open for us. It was on Mother's Day. I took my mom out and we were like walking through. And then my mom, when later in the car, she was like, that guy was so nice to me. Why is it that I was so afraid of him? And, you know, when I had to like remind her, I'm like, it's because you watch TV and that TV keeps informing you that, oh, black is bad and white is good. So, you know, you see another black person because he's dressed a certain way, even though he's taking his mother out for Mother's Day, just like I'm taking my mom out for Mother's Day. And, you know, he's just some dude. But, you know, because of how easy it is for the media to vilify certain topics, people, races, political views, whatever it is, now you got my mom having some big black dude open the door for her, and She was scared at first. But the beautiful thing is that my mom is a good person. And then in the car, she confessed to me, I was scared. But why was I scared? You know? So yeah, my mom might be kind of like that naive woman in that movie, Requiem for a Dream, but she's got a heart and she questions. And I thought that was a very telling moment. So it was really hard for me to convince her, hey man, weed is great, Ma. You need to just smoke some weed, get off this Ambien, please. And it took a while. And I have a picture that's on my phone. January something, I think it was 2014, was when my mom took her first hit of weed from a weed pen. It was the weed pen. It was the weed pen that got my mom to want to do it because it didn't look like a joint. You know what I mean? Because the joint has been vilified. Marijuana has been vilified. That was really hard to get across to my mom. And I remember she took a hit of that weed. And then later on, I asked her how she was feeling, like about 5 minutes after, because I remember my mom's a chatterbox, man. You know, technically Tracy says your mom sounds smart and kind. She's very kind, not very smart. No, she's smart in her intelligence lies in her emotions. She's emotionally intelligent. She's empathetically intelligent that way. But I wouldn't say my mom is smart, man. My mom does some dumb shit. Like being addicted to Ambien and then not being able to convince her. But, you know, a lot of that is just brainwashing. I'm sorry for that, guys. It's something that I got to fix in my car. Remember the first time I heard this in my car, I thought somebody rigged it to explode. I swear to God, I fucking thought, I was like, oh no, man. I'm like Robert De Niro's character in Casino, in the beginning of Casino. Fucking hits the thing and it explodes. And then the rest of this podcast is just me falling through credits like they did in the beginning of Casino. Anyways, my mom finally got her to smoke weed, man. You know? And it was really great because getting her to smoke that, she ended up doing it for about a few months. And it slowly got her out. Of using sleeping drugs. She still battled with it in and out, but I thought it was very amazing. Once I got her on it, and then it got to a point where she was like, I don't want to do the smoking anymore because I don't like the fact that I'm smoking it. You know, she had some type of epiphany. She had some issue with this idea of like taking a drag again, you know, just certain topics being vilified, you know, images of people being high and doing it. So then I was like, all right, well, maybe we can get you edibles. So we started working with edibles and some of that shit worked out. And sooner or later, man, it probably took about a year, year and a half of constantly, you know, making sure she's got weed around. And next thing you know, she got off the sleeping pills, man. I thought it was freaking amazing. And my mom doesn't even use anything right now, you know? And it's great. So weed is fucking awesome. But weed is also something that can be easily abused. Just like I think I'm starting to realize that I might be abusing it. Because how the fuck did I leave my laptop at the airport? Now I'm doing this podcast in my car. On my iPhone, using the front camera so I can see how it really fucks up my beard, man. I can't look. See, if I go in the dark. All right, watch this. If I go like, see? Even this looks like shit. Why is this super fucking, like, gray? Fuck these algorithms, bro. Like, for real. The algorithms are fucking shit right now. Oh, there's a parking guy. Is this the parking? Is the meter maid guy? Is the meter maid guy about to give me a ticket? You, I fucking hate meter maids, man. Like, I swear to God, they is the worst. Nah, bro, I can park here, man. Anyways, so smoking weed with my sister. And it was cool that I could teach her some things, man, because I taught her how to make a killer margarita. I think margaritas are the best drink. If you make it the way you like it, you know, I really think it is. It's the drink that has everything. Sweet, sour, salty. Use a little tahini. Fucking so good. But the margarita blew my sister away. The weed blew my sister away. I flew with a strain of weed that you can't get in Michigan. That was nice, you know. I flew in with Durban poison. How nice is that? I literally could take a big thing of weed, jar of weed, on the plane, get strip searched. They find the weed. They don't do anything about it. These are the days. These are the days. So that was fun, man. I thought it was great. I got some questions here about my margarita. How do you pull up the... Oh, come on, man. Show me the... there you go. Yeah, right? My fucking beard is like Old Man Gray. I'm reading the comments right now. TV is good at causing divides among us. Very true. Very true. Is that sound coming through my speakers? No, that sound is coming from a thing called an AC actuator. It's just some type of relay that will change the flaps to go from heat to AC or whatever. And just something I got to change, you know. And, you know, I'm just fucking failing miserably at life. Man, I was supposed to change that shit a year ago. Chaser says, I don't like the thought of something on fire next to my face. What does that mean? Flips? It flips the flaps. Exactly. It flips the flaps about the AC actuator. With or without control? I don't know what control is. Is that triple sec? I use triple sec. This is how I make my margarita. I do it with, it's very easy. It's 2 ounce, 1 ounce, 1 ounce. So 2 ounce tequila, 1 ounce triple sec, 1 ounce lime juice. I found this, I used to like squeeze the lime all the time. I don't like doing that no more, man. Cause I keep breaking the fucking thing, man. I keep going through those handle things. They keep breaking. And I'm just like, I'm done squeezing limes, man, to make a margarita. It's a lot of fucking work. So I think the key for me is to find some really, really, really good lime juice. She says, not Rose's lime juice. I don't know what Rose's lime juice is. All I know is I found this other one, this key lime juice at the Kroger's in Dearborn. Wait a minute. Yeah, Dearborn. West Dearborn, Michigan, when I was back home. If you're there, that's the one to go to on Michigan and Outer Drive. And that's where I found this really light bottle. And I forgot the name of it, but it was key lime juice. And I think it came from the Florida Keys too, if I'm not mistaken. That shit was amazing. So 2 ounces tequila, 1 ounce triple sec, 1 ounce lime juice of your choice. Try not to get that fucking, that lime juice that they just have in those little squeezy bottles. That's fucking trash. Or even the other ones that come in like the cooking aisles, that shit is trash. There's a other one. It's like at some beverage aisles, they'll have like other lime juices that are good, like organic lime juice. Try to get that shit. But that's the key. The key is the 1 ounce lime juice. And then for me, 1 tablespoon of agave. But that depends on your taste. And that also depends on the acidity of the lime juice, I'm starting to find out. So that's the reason why I don't like squeezing limes, because sometimes I'd be squeezing some limes and I'm like, man, I think some of these limes are more acidic than the other ones. And it's hard for me to gauge like the flavor, but bro, the key lime juice that I got at that Kroger's in West Dearborn, man. So 2 ounces tequila, 1 ounce triple sec, 1 ounce lime juice, 1 tablespoon of agave, or not. Some people don't like that shit. Oh, and then You got to salt the rim if you like salting the rim. But I salt the rim with kosher salt and tahine. It's like a lot of Mexican people here use it. It's one of those like sour and salty-ish. This spice, I don't even know what it is, to be honest. I don't even fucking read the bottle, but it's good. It's tajin, T-I-J-I-N. And some bartender showed me how to get salt on a rim really well. I had no idea you could do it this way because I always thought you had to have that stupid sponge thing. But nah, you either take a lime, or what I do if I'm making my own drinks, you know, I just take water on my finger and I just wipe the rim, outside rim of where I want the salt to be. I like it to be thick. So then I like put like a real thick, like line of water around the rim. And then I just on a plate, just mix the salt and tahine just on a plate and then just roll it on each side. Thick line of salt. That was my agent trying to call me. Let me see if I can text her real quick. Text D Russo. Sorry, I can't answer. I'm doing a podcast right now. Can we text? ? Ooh, technology. I thought that is how the salt in the rim. Now what? What did you say, Jason? Jason just said, somebody just said, get the green plastic lime in Kroger. Real lime. Green plastic lime? Oh, really? Okay. Put it in a cheesecloth. Put one in a cheesecloth, Bolty. Get the green plastic lime in Kroger. Real lime. Is that the one to get? I don't know about that, man. That key lime is the one. No, I have not been. Oh, God. Got bad news coming from. Sorry, guys. It would only be one day. Okay, do it. Sorry, guys. Yeah, I got a almost had a Super Bowl commercial, guys. Almost got a Super Bowl commercial. Damn. This is the second time that I got a commercial that was this big. And I was the runner-up. And they were going to give it to me. They don't know yet. And then last minute, they go with the other guy. Same thing. This was a Super Bowl commercial. They liked me so much, though. The good news is they are paying me still. They're still paying me for the gig because they want to keep me as a standby. They want to keep me. They like me. They want to keep me as a maybe we might use you if the other guy falls through or if we change our minds or if he gets COVID or. Damn it. That Super Bowl commercial would have been good money, man, and good exposure. But that's what this business is. The good thing is. Is Jeff Schaefer was the director, and he's directed a lot of comedies, a lot of movies and TV shows. He's a great comedy director. He liked me, and I think we got along. So, you know, you never know. Maybe, hopefully, he'll think of me for something else. But that's how this business is, man. This business is brutal. You better get some color back in that beard if you're going to be on a Super Bowl. Man, fuck you, Bolty. I'm already having a hard time looking at my dumb face on here. He goes, put the lime in a cheesecloth and then squeeze it and it won't explode all over the place. Still too much work, buddy. I'm not trying to fucking make margaritas like it's 1920. Yeah. Well, I mean, the good thing is that at least I'm getting paid. You know, I can't, you know, actually, it's fucking bullshit. I'd rather give me the exposure at this point. You know what I mean? Like right now, like if I could negotiate, I'm like, man, just put me on the fucking thing, bro. You ain't even got to pay me. But union, you know, I'm part of the mafia, so I can't be playing those games. I can't be doing shit for free because I got to make my money so that the SAG mafia gets their money. And when I say mafia, I mean it jokingly. SAG, I don't think you're a mafia. You guys are great. You guys are the reason why I keep getting checks in the mail for 2 cents because I had one line in a TV show that got canceled. Like sometimes I get those residual checks, and sometimes those residual checks from certain things that I've done in the past are nice. It's like, oh, okay, that's a nice check. And sometimes you did like some bit role on something that was just trash. And then like every year and a half, you'll get a 5 cent check because some guy in Bangladesh downloaded it and watched it. Like they're the only person that watched it. And my residual is like 5 cents. The last one I got was like a 2 cent check. 2 cents, bro. How much did it cost to get that check to me? Like, why don't you just do direct deposit? At that point, if you're going to throw... But I mean, hey, man, that's SAG. You know what I mean? That's what I pay the fees for. To make sure I get that fucking 2 cent check. That I still cash, by the way. You know? On principle. Part of me wants to be like, man, fuck that. I don't need to cash 2 cents. And then I hear my Arab father, money. And then you're like, okay, dad, you're right. Money. I'm glad you guys are tuning in, man. Tracy, are you a girl or are you a guy? What's popping? I see Tracy. He's one of those freaking names where it's like, what are you? What are you, Tracy? Are you a guy? Are you a girl? Are you kind of like in between? Is that why your name is technically Tracy? It's your money. You going to leave it on the floor? Exactly. Girl all the way. Yes. Got a girl on the fucking podcast, bro. That's great. Are you from Detroit, Tracy? Do we know each other? Because you just made a comment about... you made a comment about me shopping on Verner. Dearborn Forts in class of 92. Damn, bro. I mean, brodette. You're a brodette. A bro, but a girl. Class of 92, huh? Did you know Mike McGettigan? No, that's not the first girl here, Bolte. We've had other girls here. Last week, we had a girl on. I really appreciate having... females on the show, man. I like picking the brains of girls, man. I'm not even gonna lie. It's one of, if you guys ever watch this podcast, it's one of my favorite things. Especially girls that don't give a fuck, man. Girls that like just lay it all out on the table. This is who I am. I don't care if you call me a slut because I am and I'm proud. Those type of girls. Not necessarily sluts, but I'm talking about girls that definitely say fuck you to the patriarchy and, you know, just say what it is, man. One thing I can't stand is how, like, you know, I mean, you've heard me talk about it on the podcast before, you know, how, like, girls have to navigate this minefield of shame, man. Especially when it comes to sex or anything else, you know? So yeah, it's good to have you on. Technically, Tracy, do you know Mike McGettigan? Would you happen to know? You said almost dated him? You said, you must have been reading my Twitter. So you almost dated Mike McGettigan? No shit. Maybe we should get both you guys on the podcast. Wow, 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 wow. How long you been listening, Tracy? Have you been listening for a while? I mean, like, or is this your first time coming in? 10th grade, funny story, huh? So 10th grade, you almost dated Mike McGettigan. You know what's funny about Mike McGettigan? Anybody who doesn't know, me and Mike, longtime co-collaborators on a bunch of stuff. Most notably, the Ed and Mo show was like the last big thing. Well, not a big thing. We did another thing at the Planet Ant. Mike McGettigan is a good friend of mine. Him and his buddy, Sean McGettigan. Sean plays Ed on the Ed and Mo show. If you're listening to this streaming, watch it. EdandMoShow.com. Really, really funny. I enjoyed making it. Yeah, there's some things that could have been better, you know, if I could remake it, which looks like I might be. Guys, cross fingers. Yeah, Mike McGettigan, man, what's crazy is him and the McGettigans lived literally 8 blocks away from me. Grew up our entire lives, never became friends. Not until I went to the second city in Detroit to study improv. And I did my first ever improv scene. And the McGettigans were on stage at the second city, Detroit, about 2000. And that was the first time I did improv. It was fun. We had a funny set. And then we met. And then we realized, oh, shit, we grew up 8 blocks away from each other. What the fuck? What a small world, man. I even had one of their brothers, Brendan, who's the one who's not the artist. He's a very creative guy, mind you, but he doesn't pursue acting or anything like that. I had him in a math class. He was one grade below me, and I was a piece of shit, so I got held back. And then I had to, like, redo that math class. And then I had him in class for a minute. I don't like how these messages work on this thing. Jason Bacon, I'm trying to read some of this stuff here. So Mike, how does it feel to realize the world is what? Oh, Tracy, we might have met. Maybe. We probably have met. You know lots of stuff that's funny about Mike McGettigan. Jason's asking, where's the secret episode of Ed and Mo? The secret episode? Oh, the secret episode. Fuck, man. It's not a secret. I just don't want to edit it. Fuck, I got other fucking things to do. I carded Ed when I worked at the liquor store. He was in his mid-20s. But because I knew Mike and I knew Sean, these fucking messages... Yeah, I get it. Yeah, he was definitely, yeah, that's crazy. Well, I mean, Sean McGettigan, you know, he always looks 12 years old. So anyways, I got to start wrapping this up, but let me see. I have never done podcast this way. Oh, I'm a little behind on uploading the previous podcasts. If you guys are on listening to it on Spotify or Stitcher, I'm going to start uploading them again. I get my laptop back today. There's about a couple of more audio uploads that I need to put up. Most notably is, the podcast that I had with Sylvia Sage, the porn star, Tracy, or anybody who hasn't watched that one. That's a good one to watch. Also the one with Jordy Stroud just before that. So Jordy Stroud, I had him on, and you know, he's a kid who I feel just is watching too much porn and relying too much on porn instead of meeting women. And I think that's ruining the goddamn fucking world. So I had him on a podcast, and then I got inspired, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to have you on another podcast. I'm going to have you on with a porn star, my porn star friend, Sylvia Sage. And very interesting podcast. You should definitely listen to that one. That one's a damn fun one. Yeah, I just wanted to say, yeah, I was definitely, I'm behind. Another thing I wanted to say, I got the notes on my phone here. Joe Rogan's an idiot. I love Joe Rogan. I fucking love Joe Rogan. I love that podcast. I like the fact that he has a podcast, and he brings people of different viewpoints on. That's why I listen to it. And I think the biggest marker of someone who's fucking stupid is somebody who goes, I can't believe you listen to Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan. Like right now, Joe Rogan's been so vilified that you can tell that somebody is uninformed when they blame everything on fucking Joe Rogan. And then I even had one of my friends who like can't stand Joe Rogan, be like, oh my God, Joe Rogan, I can't believe you listen to Joe Rogan. And I'm just like, who the fuck is listening to Joe Rogan? I just don't understand how we give a guy like that so much fucking credit. Even he tells you that he's an idiot. When people say, I can't believe you listen to Joe Rogan, I'm like, I'm not listening to Joe Rogan. I'm listening to his guests. If Joe Rogan's talking about not taking the vaccine, I'm not listening to Joe Rogan. If Joe Rogan is talking about squats, I'm listening to Joe Rogan. If Joe Rogan is talking about his experience with comedy, I'm listening to Joe Rogan. If Joe Rogan is talking about how he feels when he takes vitamins or how he feels when he eats meat that he hunts, I'll listen to you. Great. But if Joe Rogan starts talking about vaccines, science, spaceships, quantum physics off the top of his dome, I'm not listening to him because I'm not an idiot. I cannot fucking stand that people just be blaming Joe Rogan. And he is kind of an idiot, but he's a pretty smart idiot. Today he posted, if you go on his page, he posted a video. Supposedly real video of a drone taking off really quick and then coming back around, and it looks very fake. And he posted it with this thing underneath that basically said, you know, I can't fully believe in aliens or that any of those crazy ships that the videos are showing, I can't believe that those are aliens when we have drones that can do this. Now go on his Instagram and watch that video and tell me that you believe that that thing is real. I haven't done my research yet, but part of me goes, oh man, Joe, here's another one of your you might be dumb moments. And watch that video, because the way that thing takes off, it looks so CGI and fake. Not to mention, when it comes back around to come back towards the camera again, watch what a beautiful angle it does. It literally exits the frame at a very pleasing part, where if you were to direct it, that's where you would want it to. That's the angle you would want it to go. Now, listen, maybe I'm splitting hairs here. Maybe that thing can move that fast. And maybe it just so happened that the way it took off and the way it was shot, it almost looked like that it was done by CGI and that it's not. But I don't think so. I think this is going to be another one of those things that's going to make you go, oh, fuck, Joe, again? Remember when he thought that Cuomo was like, had this like 50-pound dumbbell in his office, and he's like moving it around with one arm, and, you know, Joe had it on his podcast, like, man, dude, he's pretty freaking strong. You could probably definitely do that. I can see how somebody could do that. And then all of a sudden you looked at the, later on he found out it was fake, that it was not even a real dumbbell. And then Joe was like, oh my God, I'm an idiot. So listen, we know Joe Rogan is an idiot, guys. He's a pretty smart, well thought out, well read person. He's not somebody who should be taken seriously when he starts talking about stuff like science, especially when he has people on. He'll have experts on. They will talk about stuff. He will try to grasp what they're saying. And then the next time, he'll talk to another guest and he'll try to regurgitate what he heard and he'll get it wrong. Happens. The thing is, the guy's, he's a cage fighter, he's a comedian. Who the fuck's listening to him? And I remember I talked to one of my another one of my friends here in Hollywood. And we were sitting around talking. To me, I'm blown away by how everybody is putting we are letting the media steer the way we think. And they've been doing it for so long, and it's way more apparent right now. And not only is it so apparent right now, more people are falling victim to it. That's what's driving me fucking crazy. The media right now is on a mission to make itself look great, while a lot of us know that they're not. But what's tripping me out is that a lot of smart people that should know better are falling victim for it. So, for example, I got friends out here that are in Hollywood that'll remain nameless. And, you know, these are people that are working. And, you know, they're in the industry. And, like, during the holidays, we were sitting down and all they could talk about was how Jon Stewart is a problem. Jon Stewart is a problem because what he says come across as news, but that he hides behind the fact that, hey, I'm just an entertainer. And the whole time we were sitting there talking, it dawned on me. You guys are so in the industry here in Hollywood, you are in this ridiculous echo chamber. And the echo chamber wants you to believe that it's not the industry's fault. It's not the media's fault. The media is not making mistakes. What you should be focusing on is how this guy who's an entertainer is ruining shit. Now, mind you, the real reason why Jon Stewart is being vilified is because he went on Stephen Colbert. Watch that video, please, where he makes jokes basically saying, hey, the virus came from Wuhan. I mean, think about it. There's a building in Wuhan called the Wuhan Coronavirus Lab, and he had this hilarious, hilarious bit about it, going against the liberal narrative. The liberal narrative during the middle of the pandemic was, you know, we cannot say anything about China because it would be racist. It was basically just doing the opposite of what Trump did. Trump went out and called it the China virus. Now, I hate that. I don't like it because it was inflammatory. And some people will be like, oh, well, we got the Spanish flu. Remember they called it the Spanish flu? Well, yeah, people back then were really fucking racist. So let's get to the program. Yeah, but then they also Middle East whatever virus. Okay, fine. I get it. But when a scientific community labels something like that, it's a little different than a piece of shit, fucking asshole, egotistical, narcissist, maniacal fucking guy named Trump, just out of his own fucking hatred saying China virus. I thought that was wrong. I thought that was racist. Some people tried to come back at me and go, oh, that's not racist. That can't be racist because China's not our race. China's a nation. They start debating semantics like, bitch, I will fucking bitch slap you through this Facebook Messenger. It was racist. Now, I think because he called it China virus, all of a sudden it became the liberal narrative. We can't fucking blame China because it would be racist. One thing that I love about being liberal is, man, you know, we care. We feel for other people. But man, right now there's some of us that are the loudest that are doing the feeling in the wrong fucking direction, man. I almost lost my fucking train of thought. The fuck was I just talking about, guys? I got almost going off on a fucking tangent. I was trying to fucking finish up my, So, you know, they blame Jon Stewart now. And during the holiday, during, you know, a little holiday dinner with my friends, it's like, I can't believe, I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone. Here I am, wasting time talking about how an entertainer is ruining the world because people think what he's doing is news, yet he's an entertainer. Yet you guys won't sit there and call out Rachel Maddow and all these fucking other fucking bitches at Fox and all those other like fucking Wolf Blitzer and all these other people that are actually telling us lies next to a logo that spins and says news. Blows me the fuck away, man. Sorry I have to go on a fucking tangent like this, but it's just like, I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone, man. We actually have news telling us lies, yet we are focused on Jon Stewart. He used to be our hero. Remember that shit? He used to be our hero, right? When he was saying the things we wanted him to say. But then he goes against the narrative, rightfully so, because he sees through the bullshit. And now I got people who should know better, not knowing better, and it's driving me fucking crazy. Also, I want to give you guys a movie suggestion before I take off. I finished this movie last night. I think it's very timely. I think it's a movie that fits kind of what we're going through right now, and I watched it last night. It's called Don't Look Up with Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer, whatever her name is. Damn good movie, guys. Watch it. It's about an asteroid coming to the planet Earth and basically how human beings fought and how we, Jennifer Lawrence, that's right. Thank you, Tracy. It was a damn good movie because It I thought it was genius because it basically took what's happening right now, how we are polarized and fighting ridiculously against each other over these topics during COVID, how dumb we all are, how easy it is for them to get us to be polarized. But they did it. Instead of COVID, it's an asteroid coming to the Earth, and it's going to, you know, destroy the Earth, and the human race needs to start, you know, stop fighting over dumb bullshit and, you know, figure out what they're going to do about this asteroid. Fucking watch it. It's called Don't Look Up. I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was timely. I thought it was perfect, especially for the times that we're going through right now. Like I said, I hope you guys had a good Christmas. My Christmas was fun. I got drunk with my sister, got high with my sister right next to my mom, and she didn't know about it. Fucking Jesus Christ. Jesus's birthday, baby. Screwball whiskey, man. I don't know if you guys have figured out screwball whiskey, but man, I was making some peanut butter chocolate whiskey drinks that completely fucked up my diabetes. I probably have diabetes now, but it was really good. Screwball peanut butter whiskey. Joe Rogan's an idiot. Blaming Jon Stewart, done. Christmas with family, done. Yep, done with that. Lost my laptop, yep. That's it, guys. I think I hit everything. That's about an hour. Next week, I should have my laptop. I should have my laptop today. Who knows, you know, probably the NSA's put a tracker on it. I don't know why they'd be following me, because I ain't shit. I can't even get a Super Bowl commercial. So, Mike Eshak, signing out. Follow me, Mike from Detroit, on everything, guys. Everything, Mike from Detroit. I got shows coming up. You can find that at MikeFromDetroit.com. What else? I got merch on my site. If you like it, buy it. What else, man? There's something else I wanted to say. I got to get better at this fucking promotion shit. All right, guys. I love you. Thank you for tuning in. As always, every Wednesday, 2 p.m., even if I don't have my fucking computer, I'm showing up. And if I can't make it because I'm busy doing something else, or maybe on a plane flying somewhere else, typically I will post that on my Facebook page, my Twitter, and my Instagram. So stay tuned to that to find out what days I move the podcast, if I have to. But more than likely, Wednesdays, 2 p.m. I love you guys. Thank you for letting me rant. Love each other. Don't let politics get to you. Don't be polarized. Try to look at the other side, even though they're fucking morons. Try to walk a mile in their fucking shoes. We're all the same. Do mushrooms. Do DMT. Meditate. Do what you got to do to realize that you have so much in common with everything around you, every molecule. If you see a fucking piece of dog shit on the floor, that's you. Not metaphorically. Atomically. Did I say that word right? Molecularly. Molecularly, you and that piece of dog shit on the floor are made from the same thing. Love you guys. Peace out. I don't know how to end this. There we go. Deuces.